We're in the sixth parak of Mesilas Yesharim, Beveor Midas Hazrizus. The level after Zehirus is Zerizus. Zehirus is being careful and introspect and be aware and think about things. Zerizus is proactive. Acher Hazehirus Yavo Hazrizus. After Zehirus comes Zerizus, ki Hazrizus Sovev. Kazahirus sovev al haloisase, vazerizus al haese. Zerizus basically centers around the loisase, the things you're not supposed to do, and being careful from averus. Zerizus has to do with mitzvahs that we do, the mitzvahs to say, vahainu, sur meira, vase tov. So we have this association where we begin with sur meira, stay away from bad, and then we work on doing good. So the concept of zerizus is really pretty clear. It is essentially the introduction to mitzvahs and our doing it to perfection or completion. As our Chazal teaches, zerizim makdimim lemitzvahs. People who are zariz will be quick to do mitzvahs. V'zeh. The same way it requires a tremendous amount of awareness and observation to be saved from the stumbling blocks of the Yetzirah, and to be spared from the evil that it should not control us, this Arba Asenu, to get involved in our actions. Similarly, you acquire a great deal of awareness and foresight to grab on to mitzvahs, for liskus behem, to merit to do the mitzvahs. You shouldn't lose the opportunity. Because the same way the Yetzirah expends a lot of energy and scheming to get us to stumble and fall in the nets of sin, he also tries hard to keep us from doing mitzvahs and to make us lose out the opportunity to do mitzvahs. If a person weakens himself and gets lazy, and he doesn't strengthen himself to pursue mitzvahs and to support them, he'll undoubtedly be left empty-handed without mitzvahs. V'sira, because you see, ki teva ha'odam kaved ma'od. It's the nature of man to be very sedentary and heavy. Ki afriyus achamiyus gas. The physicalness of man is very thick. Akein lo yachbot sa'odam b'toach malacha. It's natural for people to avoid things that are burdensome, things that are difficult to do, things that expend energy. But one who wants to merit to serve Hashem, he has to overcome his natural tendencies, and he's got to be strong and motivated, because if he allows himself to follow his natural state of just sitting around and doing nothing, Vadai, it's like the basic inertia of not doing anything. Vadai hu shlo yatzliach, there's no question, he'll never succeed. Fumash omar tana, this is what the Tana teaches us, havi az kanamer v'kal kaneshev rotz katsvi. A person should be strong like the leopard, and quick like the eagle, and run like the deer. V'gibur ka'ari, and mighty like the lion. La'asos b'tzon avichash b'shmaim, to do the bidding of your Father in heaven. It requires gevura. It requires energy to be able to serve Hashem. V'chein monu chachamim zechon avoha chachamim have listed b'dvar matzich m'chizik, there are things that require constant attention to strengthen. Torah u'maisim tovim. Among them is Torah u'maisim tovim. U'mirkam molihu, it's a posik, chazak v'ematz ma'oid l'shmo la'asaz chalatar shetzivcha Moshe avdi. Yeshua is instructed to be very strong and courageous to guard and protect the Torah that he was commanded by Moshe. It requires tremendous exertion to overcome your natural tendencies. Shlomo HaMelech taught this a lot. When he saw the evil that comes out of laziness, and the losses that are generated from laziness. A little sleep here, a little slumber there, a little folding your hands. And basically your poverty is going to overcome you suddenly. Because the lazy person, it's true, he's not actively doing bad things. But he is going to bring bad upon himself by his inaction. The person who is weak at doing his work is a brother to the one who's destructive. He's not someone who is overtly destructive with his actions. Don't think you're so far from it. You're the brother of this person who's destructive. You're of the same mazel. He goes on to give us a very clear example of the atzel. This happens, and we see it all the time. Shlomo HaMelech writes, I went past the field of the lazy man. I went past the vineyard of the one who paid it no attention. It's overgrown with thistles. It's covered with nettles. I looked and I paid attention. I took a lesson. A little ignoring it here, a little ignoring it there. The next thing you know, your fields are overrun and overgrown, and it's gone. Besides the simple meaning, which is absolutely true, kimashmo, the simple meaning. He's talking about a guy who saw a farmer, and the farmer was ignoring his field, so he's saying this is what happens. Our Chazal learn in this passage of Mishlei a beautiful medrash, Zelashom, this is the language. He looks for an explanation on a portion of the Torah, he can't find it. He didn't toil in it. He's going to sit and say that which is tahar is tameh, and that which is tameh is tahar. And basically undermines the Tamid HaChamim. What's his punishment? Shlomo says, the snake bites the one who breaches the fence. Fahainu. Kirasa atzel eina ba'al b'vasachas. The problem of the lazy person, the evil of the lazy person, isn't something instantaneous. It slowly, slowly accumulates without realizing it. It goes from one bad to the next until he's totally drowning and buried in bad. Initially, it's just a matter of not putting in the effort. And it comes out, he won't learn Torah as necessary. If he doesn't learn the way he should, and when he wants to learn later, he doesn't understand it. If that would have been the end of it, that's bad enough. It gets worse. But he wants to explain and understand this portion of the Torah and this piece of Mishnah. So he'll interpret it incorrectly. He will destroy and corrupt the truth. And he'll undermine the decrees and breach the fences. And the end is destruction, which happens to anyone who breaches the fences. So, on the one hand, it's talking about someone who's a farmer, but it's also someone who's Torah learning. And if he doesn't put the proper effort into his Torah learning, in the end, he will corrupt it. Amr Shlomo says, Ve'echza anochi oshes libi. I looked and I paid attention. Hisponanti al davar zeh. I thought about this. For isi goydel harasha bo. I saw the great evil of the lazy one. Shuke eres ha'olech mespashet matbat. It's like a poison that goes through the body little by little. Ve'en pilosidi keres ahamisa. And at first it's not noticed until it's so bad that the person perishes. Ve'zeo ma'at she'nos. This is the one who takes a little nap here, a little nap there. again, all of a sudden, he's impoverished. We see with our eyes. How many times? When a person knows what he has to do, and it's absolutely clear the truth of what he has to do to save his neshama, what he's obligated to do to his creator, and nonetheless, he doesn't do it. He does not a lack in the intellectual recognition. There's really no explanation for it. It's because he's lazy. And his laziness won out. Omer, he says, I have to eat a little bit. I need a little rest. I can't get out right now. I took off my clothes. I should put them back on. It's too hot outside. Hakar Rabba, it's terribly cold. August, it's raining. There's all kinds of excuses. The lazy people have no end to their excuses. And between this and that, he doesn't learn his Torah, he doesn't do the Avodah, and he forsakes his Creator. Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei describes how terrible it is to be an Atzel. So many different passages about Atzlos, and it's really in all areas of life. Of course, the focus we have is on Torah and Avodah and Mitzvahs. And the Ramchal illustrates it for us in our own terms, that we know there are times when we know this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's not a lack of clarity. It's not that we doubt or question. We know what we're supposed to do. We just don't do it. And he calls that kevedus ha'atzla. There's an expression, I don't know who said it, but an expression, the greatest distance is the distance between the mind and the heart, something like that. Have you heard that before? So the Ramchal applies that to Avodas Hashem. You can know it's the right thing to do, but it takes a long time to get around to doing it. Usually, we have excuses. No one else does it. What are people going to think of me? What are people going to say about me? All kinds of reasons why we don't want to do things that we know we should do. And the Ramchal says all of that is laziness. Now maybe that's too broad a stroke to say that it's laziness, but to a certain degree it definitely is. It's very hard to get people to change. It's very hard to get ourselves to change. In fact, if you go to the library, there are bookcases of books trying to help you change. There's a whole industry of self-help books where people read, and a lot of them are entertaining, and some are actually useful. There's a big market, but it's one thing to read the book, and it's another thing to actually do something about it. And it's very hard to change. And Ramchal gives us one kernel of hope by saying, well, you know, that's your nature. It's natural to just keep on doing what you've been doing. It's natural to just, that's Yechomius, that's Hashem made us, that's our Teva, and we have to overcome that. It is something we have to overcome. And if a person doesn't learn how to overcome it, he'll never get anywhere in life. And this is true in anything. It's not only Torah and Avodah. You could lecture to college students the same thing. If you're not going to work, you're not going to succeed, you're not going to see it. So where are you going to end up in life? People who are successful work hard. People who are successful work hard. Whatever their field is, even if they don't go to college, whatever it is, they work very hard. They work hard, and they're not lazy about it, and if they would be, they would get swallowed up by the competition and they'd get nowhere. So being industrious, we call it a work ethic, industrious, this is something that's a universal concept that is a good thing to do, but at the same time, in the context of Avodas Hashem, is indispensable. If you're not going to have a hashkafa or a teredic work ethic when it comes to Avodas Hashem, So why should someone get up in the morning for minyan? It's cold outside. It's much more comfortable under the covers. Why should I get up to go to minyan? And if you don't go to minyan, why should I get out of bed to daf before I go to school, before I go to work? It's too comfy in here. It's cold outside. Why should I? Whatever it is, this goes on and on throughout the day, visiting someone who's homebound, doing a chesed, going to see someone, whatever it is. Someone who's lazy isn't going to get anywhere. He's going to go anywhere, won't be productive. If you know it's the right thing to do, just do it. Don't make cheshbonos, don't ask all the questions, but what if, what if, what if, what if? Those are all the things that keep you from getting ahead. If you know this is the right thing to do, just do it. Just do it. It'll happen. There's a musavar, it's a very hard concept to swallow when you really think about it, but I'm sure you've heard it before. The first time I think I saw it was by an article about Rebbetzin Yafin. Rebbetzin Yafin was the daughter of the Alter of Nevardik, and she was a Rebbetzin in Yerushalayim. And she would tell her grandchildren, you can imagine, as the daughter of the Alter of Nevardik, she would give a lot of musa to her Anakloch. And she would always tell them, never say, I can't do something. Say you don't want to do something. Because if you want to do it, you can do it. So those things, I can't do it. Can you go to the makal? No, I can't. No. Those things, I can't. You don't want to. If you wanted to, you could do it. So that's a tough thing to swallow because there are things that we think that we can't do. We just can't do it. But deep, deep down, almost all the time you don't want to. If you really wanted to, you'd figure it out. If you really wanted to, you'd figure it out. You'd figure out a way. They say over that the Beis Medrash in the old days, time of Hillel, used to have a shomer. There used to be someone to guard the door. You couldn't just walk into Beis Medrash. And one of the Bali Musa said, it wasn't to keep people out of the Beis Medrash. Do you really want to get in? If you really want to get in, you'll find a way. There's a back door. You'll find a way in. If you really want to get in, you'll find a way in. And we put up walls, not always to keep people out, but to see how much you really want it. Over the years, people have come to me with all different kinds of ideas. Most of them are things that I should do, community-wise or she or whatever. And very often, my initial response is, no, I don't have enough time, it's not going to work out. And not 9 out of 10, but more like 49 out of 50 times, they never come back. But one time they say, can we work out this, can we work out that? And I see they're really serious about it. They really want to do it. And then we'll sit down and have a talk and see, okay, let's see what we can do about this. Ideas are very simple, but is there commitment? Do you really want something? You really want something? You'll be tenacious. You'll be determined. It'll happen. It'll happen. So sometimes it's talk a really good idea for a shiur and I can't do it. Or I don't want to do it. There's no time in my week. That's the way my week is going. So I'll recommend someone else. And I've done that a few times over the years. And Baruch Hashem, there are a number of shiurim that have started that way. But it's just a lot of times you see a wall, like you work on something, you go into a wall. So there's two ways to look at it. Does that mean, okay, I tried and I'm done? Or, no, there's a way over this wall. There's a way around this wall. We're going to find it. It's on your mindset. If it's important enough to you, you're going to find a way around it. You're going to find a way over it. It's not going to get in your way. And if you're easily discouraged, you may be lacking some commitment. If you're committed, it'll happen. V'ulam, Ramchal continues, in Tishal Aspia Otzel, if you ask the Otzel why he's not going out, why he's not doing these mitzvahs, he'll have a whole list of Mamore Chazal defending his inaction. He'll have psukim. He'll have rationalizations. And all of them, because he's not thinking straight, are instructing him to take it easy and not to be too busy. It's basically encouraging him to foster his laziness. He doesn't realize that his logic, his rationale, and his proofs are only the product of his bias. He doesn't realize it's coming from his laziness. But when the laziness overcomes, so then he's inclined to follow these rationales. He will not listen to the chachamim and the people who are thinking straight. Shlomo cries about this, and he says, Chacham otzel be'enov mishiv mishivitam. An otzel, a lazy person, is smarter in his own eyes than seven people who are saying reasonable things. The laziness doesn't even allow him to take to heart the rebuke. He thinks they're all stupid and foolish, and only he's smart. He knows better than everyone else. What do they know? You should know, this is a very tried and true rule in the avoda of Prishus. Shakol kula tzricha bedika. Every leniency in halacha, in avoda, must be thoroughly examined. It's possible that the kula is in fact straight and proper. Omnam, however, it's also very likely that leniencies are the products of the Yetzer Hara and his designs. It's necessary to thoroughly examine and re-examine leniencies. And if after all the thorough examinations it's correct, there's no problem with that. The rule is as follows. It takes tremendous energy and re-strengthening to overpower our natural tendencies to do mitzvahs, to throw off the shackles of the laziness that holds him back. He has in a bracket in my volume, you could use atzlos when it comes to tivus. You want to refrain from tivus, yeah, you can use your atzlos then. We know that angels are praised for this characteristic, that they are mighty and do the will of Hashem. And the chayos, the type of malach, goes so fast, it's like the lightning. We are people, we're not angels. We cannot be as mighty as a malach. But certainly, whatever you can, come close to that level, if you should. David would praise his lot and say, I hurried and I did not delay to guard your mitzvahs. So Michal tells us that, first of all, it takes a lot of motivation to move from what you know you have to do to actually doing it. And secondly, when you come across leniencies that, no, you don't have to do this, it's okay, don't worry about it, it needs to be thoroughly checked and examined to determine, is this legitimate? Is this a real leniency that I can rely upon? Or is it, again, just the product of my laziness that I'm looking for basically an easy way out? Years and years ago, one of my rebbeim said that if a person wants to be a Yorei Shamayim, if you want to be a God-fearing person, so I would have ended the sentence, if you put a blank there, what should you do? So usually you'd answer, learn Musar. You want to be a Yorei Shamayim, learn Musar. Learning Musar teaches you Yorei Shamayim, to be God-fearing, you learn Musar. He didn't say that. He said, you want to be a God-fearing person, you learn Shulchan Aruch from the beginning, and you do whatever it says. You start from the beginning and do whatever it says. One of the first things it says is the Yehuda ben Tema, Havias Kedem, Eros Kedsevi, Giva Kairi, Lasso Sogesh, Vashemayim, Kol Galdav Tzedikim, right? You know the song. It's the very first chapter of Shulchan Aruch. So Be'el Yilat Bi'an, Zichron Levracha, the later years of his life, would not sleep in bed. If I got it right, he would like sleep in a couch with his feet on a chair in order to jump out of bed when the clock rang to get up in the morning. To be in bed, it would take a long time to get out of bed, so he wasn't in bed, it would be easy to get out. So I said, why are you doing this? Because after 120 years, they're going to bring me to Din Torah and Shemayim. And they're going to say, did you keep the Shulchan Aruch? And I say, yeah, I did keep Shulchan Aruch. Okay, let's start from the beginning. The first halacha of Shulchan Aruch, did he get up like a lion in the morning? If I fail the first question of the test, well, what's going to be the rest of it? So I want to make sure I get up Ka'ari in the morning. I'm not going to sleep in a regular bed. That's not for us. That's for Be'el Yilat Bi'an. But there is going to be this kind of test. And the Shulchan Aruch actually gets very detailed about every little nuance of how we get up in the morning, what's the first thing we say in the morning, washing our hands right away, the Seder of the Brachas in the morning, how we get dressed, being Sanua, in the way we get dressed in the morning. How do we get dressed? Do we give kavod to our head? It's a halacha, it's brought down. Not everyone knows about it, we don't always teach about it either, for that matter, because there's so many other things to teach. You take a shower, the first thing you do is your hair. Your head gets washed first. Your head is the melech of the body. You start with the head. You work your way down. Is it an avera to start with your body and end with your hair? I'm not going to say it's an avera, but that's the seder hadvarim. You may have a dozen reasons why you want to do your hair last. You're supposed to give kavod to your head. Your head's supposed to come first. How long will it take for a person to make that change? To start doing their hair first instead of last? It may sound like a nothing. For some people, it takes time to wrap their head around that. Now again, some people never learn, so they don't know about it, so that's a different story. But I'm just saying, it's brought down. You know about the shoes. They teach them about the shoes. Right shoe, left shoe, tie the left shoe, the right shoe. Don't you think if Chazal told us how to put on your shoes, they told us everything. It wasn't just the shoes. So the shoes, they teach and they tell everyone that. They tell you to put your right hand in your right sleeve before the left in the left sleeve? Probably not. But that's how you're supposed to get dressed. The right side comes before the left side. The head comes before the lower parts of the body. There's a whole seder of these things which are seemingly minutiae. Right? Like, who cares how I get dressed in the morning? Who cares how I take a shower? What difference does it make? Okay? You could say that. But you can also understand there's big things, and we're Tzelem Elokim, and we're representation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Rosh is the head of the body, and then Yamin is other fun. There's all kinds of things like that. So the Rebbe said to me, you want to be a Yerushalayim? You learn Shulchan Aruch and do it. Don't just learn it, theoretical. Whatever it says, go ahead and do. It becomes a very tall order. And half of it is changing your habits. Just change silly things. I mean, silly things. I can't say silly things because it's brought down too. By saying the things that are not, we're not talking about Shemir Shabbos. We're not talking about Kashrus. We're talking about how to get dressed in the morning. But there is a mahalach. There is a mahalach how to get dressed in the morning. There's a mahalach how to bathe. All these. There is a system. There is a system that ideally we would follow the system.
What if you're a lefty?
With your shoes, or the body. So there are a whole swarm about lefties. There are a whole swarm going through the day, the week, the year, with lefties. And generally speaking, for when we come to matters of yamin and smol, chesed, gevura, things like that, it makes a difference if you're lefty or right-handed person. The right comes before left. The only time a lefty will give dominance to the left is when it's giving kavod to a bracha, so you hold the apple in your left hand, you make a bracha. You hold the glass of wine in your left hand by Dav Kaisis. And again, someone could say, well, what difference does it make? What hand do you hold the cup of wine in? You drink, you make a bar up your coffee, you drink the Kais B'Seba, makes a difference, right hand, left hand? Yeah, it does make a difference. It's covered for the bracha to use the stronger hand. So all these things, and to me, it's an exercise in, you know it's true, you know you're supposed to do it, so when are you going to do it? It doesn't have to be in that context. It could be in, like my examples I gave before, doing chesed, helping out, helping parents, whatever it is, keep it over aim. There are a lot of mitzvahs out there that are not so geschmack. There are mitzvahs that are not necessarily pleasurable in the performance of the mitzvahs. But you know it's the right thing to do, and you got to do it. So if it's the right thing to do, you got to do it, then do it. If you know it's the right thing, then just do it. And don't fetch about it, and don't complain about it. And if there's Hashem b'simcha, go ahead and do it. Do it right. And again, I could talk from today to tomorrow. And we know it's true, but do we respond to that? Do we act that way? Do we feel it? So that's an avodah. That's an avodah. That's where Zerizus comes in. That's the avodah of taking what you know and putting it into action. Taking what you know is right and doing it. And I'm not saying it's an easy avodah. It's actually a pretty difficult avodah. But it's not an impossible avodah. It's certainly not impossible. It's not beyond any of us. If you take a sefer or book like A Tzaddik in Our Time and learn about Rav Arye Levin's avodah, it's important to know that that's not what's expected of us. The one who wrote the book has a very poignant comment. He says, Chazal tells us there are 36 tzaddikim in every generation. I don't believe there are 36 of our Levines. How could it be the 36 people like him? And the answer to that question is, you could say, of course there are, he just doesn't know who they are. But I would say, no, the question is a mistake to begin with. There are 36 tzaddikim in every generation. Arye Levin wasn't a tzaddik. What he did was beyond tzedkos. It's called chosid. Go through Amchal. Tzaddik is not the highest madrega. In our language, we might refer to it like that, but really, chosid is a higher level than tzaddik. And if Arye Levin went way beyond what halacha required of him, tzaddik does what you have to do. He does everything right. Chosid goes way past what he has to do. When a person is robbing his house and he hides behind the door not to embarrass the ganef, that's not tzidkos, that's chassidus. So doing what you're supposed to do doesn't mean you have to become like from these great, great chassidim that are seemingly beyond our grasp. I'm not saying it's beyond our grasp either. But the basic things that we know we have to do, we have to do. And we shouldn't let it slide. And we shouldn't use excuses. And we shouldn't be daunted by the fact that, oh no, people, no one does it. If it's what you're supposed to do, it's what you're supposed to do. And you just do it. You just do it. And don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. And when you find reasons to go easy on yourself, you have to know if your rationale is biased or not. And if you're not sure, you can ask someone. Can ask someone. One of the most common questions we get is fasting on, a lot of women ask shaylas if they should fast or not. Some of them don't even ask shaylas, they don't fast, whatever. Is that a right thing? Is it a wrong thing? So, a person may not be able to answer that for themselves. A person might not be the right one to decide for himself, I don't feel like fasting today. You could ask a shaila, and it will be discussed, is it right for you to fast, or is it wrong for you to fast? Right? So we'll discuss it, find out. But to be lenient on yourself, deciding by yourself to be lenient on yourself, that is not a wise thing to do. Because of negev adover. So when he says, every kula, you should be boidik, make sure, it's taka proper. Not too many people can make that decision on their own to determine if the kula is legitimate or not. There's some of which probably you're best off asking someone else, is this a time that I should be makel or not?